this week on the Auto Trader Podcast.
So the best advice would be to, as much as you need to have a routine in your life, change it up every now and again. Yeah. Keep them guessing. Because if they know exactly where you're going to be every day at a specific time, they can plan an attack on you much easier. Welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. And this week, we're going to give you the lowdown on hijacking. I'm your host this week, joined by Tay and Reno. Welcome, gentlemen. And I'm hosting because I was actually a victim of hijacking earlier this year. I was in a press car, of all vehicles, a Renault Megane Trophy, on my way back from the office, and stopped at a traffic light. And the next thing I knew, there were two guns pointed at me, one by my driver's side window and the other one sort of front left of the windscreen. It was quite a traumatic experience. And if anything, I'd like you guys watching to take some of these tips to heart so that this doesn't happen to you, because it's quite traumatic and it makes your daily commute that much harder. In addition to traffic, you're also consistently paranoid about it happening again. And I'm sure almost everyone you know, or maybe you guys yourselves, have been a victim of this type of crime, and it affects you quite negatively. So these tips are aimed at helping everybody. So let's get into it. First tip, beware of your surroundings. Now, this sounds pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think we all, because we sit in our own little bubble, I think we all ignore the fact that we should be vigilant when we come up to a traffic light. I mean, often, I know I was a victim, or as a result of this, I was a victim because I was too close to the car in front of me and I was literally a sitting duck. So leave a bit of a gap to the car in front of you so you do have a potential escape route, and just be aware of things around you. Don't just sit in your bubble. You might have a podcast going on or something else that you're thinking about, but whenever you stop, whenever you're stationary, be aware of what's happening around you, and I think you're going to...
You see, a lot of people make the mistake of the moment you stop at the robot, you catch up on WhatsApps that might have come through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things like that. And you looking at the phone, which is also something that the criminals want to steal from you.
Absolutely.
So that's the thing, is like avoid looking at other things, especially like in those very busy intersections. You might think it's the quiet ones where it takes place. It's actually the busy ones.
Absolutely. I mean, this happened to me. Broad daylight, in the middle of traffic, just cars all around me, the criminals are brazen. And they know, because we're all stuck in traffic, there's not much we can do about this. So they made me open the door, took my bag with all my stuff in it and my cell phone. And because there was so much traffic, they couldn't take the vehicle. And then for a bit of added insult, I had to sit in traffic to get home to the police station to report this. So that was great. That was the cherry on top of my day there.
One thing I'd add is also try and keep your windows up. That's another thing.
Absolutely.
There was an incident that I actually witnessed. I was also in traffic coming back from work in a press car. And then I noticed next to me there was a fellow in a Renault Megane Cabriolet. Top fully down, windows fully down, and he was just, his phone was just out like this, and you could see that he was checking his WhatsApp and that. And I was like, that's not a grand idea. 2 minutes later, two lads just walking, minding their own business, came, jumped this guy, took his phone, they ran off. Oof. And then went off into the highway overpass. It was like a little slipway that they could get into. So it's a very unpleasant experience. But then, yeah, as you said, you need to be aware of your surroundings and know what's going on. Because thieves, are, you know, as you said, thieves are brazen, very, very brazen. But in the same sense also, they'll look for something that's a low risk. Whereas if you're a higher risk, like you're paying attention to what's going on, you've planned escape routes and that, you're less of a risk. Yeah, you become less of a risk, although the risk is still there regardless. That's the thing.
So before we get into more tips, I thought let's approach the topic of the most stolen vehicles. Now, there's a bit of misinformation out there. Now, if you look at the correlation between the most stolen cars, they also happen to be the best-selling cars in South Africa. Yeah. So it's not a case of In some instances, it's a case of the cars being targeted specifically for spare parts, etc. But it's also a case of you're statistically more likely to be hijacked in a popular car than you are in a not so popular car. I am one that went against the grain here. I was in a vehicle of which there are only 50 in the country, and yet I got hijacked. So statistically speaking, you are more likely to be hijacked in the best-selling car in South Africa, which is a Toyota Hilux or a Volkswagen Polo Viva or a Ford Ranger, Nissan MP200, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a case that necessarily that these are bad vehicles and are targeted by criminals. It's just a law of averages that comes into play here. So a lot of people that bash these brands, VW, Ford, Toyota, for them being stolen frequently, I don't think factor in that you're just statistically more likely to be.
And then also colors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a more bland color, silvers and whites, etc. Those are going to get stolen more because there are more of them on the road. Mm. It's absolutely not necessarily that they're targeting that particular color, for instance. It's literally, there's just more of them.
I mean, what do you say in the police report? My white Polo Viva was stolen. And they're like, oh, okay. So there's only like 10,000 of those in the
street.
In the immediate region. Whereas if you like, I have a bronze Peugeot 208. Like that's going to stick out like a sore thumb, right? Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely correct. The color and spec of your vehicle makes a big difference too. But that's not to discourage people from buying these vehicles because it all comes down to the stats.
Back to that thing of people bashing the brands for, you know, these vehicles being stolen, that, I mean, some people have pushed for more, like, we want more security in the cars and everything in between. But then it's kind of a bit counterintuitive, don't you think, in that, okay, we can improve the security of the cars. They're still best sellers. That's the thing. And these, when they want what they want, they will make sure they get it.
Yep.
So you actually, it seems a bit, you don't want to increase the security so much that you become, you know, God forbid something bad happens. But it's also, as you said, it's an averages thing. My English is gone.
Listened to an interview they did with a person that stole cars. Like literally, that's all they did. And the person said that one day he was also just in a mood for something fun. So he literally stole a Ferrari, drove it a few blocks, and then parked it next to the road and left. So sometimes it's literally, there is no like direction. If the person is in the mood to steal your car, it's going to happen.
It's something that happens with home security too. If they know that there's something in your home that they really want, there's very little that you can do to actually stop them from coming in. Look, there's measures you can take once they're in the house in terms of self-defense.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with vehicles. If they want the car,
They're going to try and take it.
I mean, you can bulletproof the car, you can armor plate it or whatever you may do. But if they want the car, they're going to try and get the car. Mm. Unfortunately, that's just the way of the world and the way of South Africa. Some of the strategies that hijackers employ, I think common ones is obviously when you stop somewhere, they'll obviously come and approach the vehicle and try ambush you. Mm. But some more worrying strategies I've come across is them throwing large rocks from bridges, smashing your windscreen and having you stop up the road where they have accomplices waiting to hijack you, or creating these really well-made, very nicely welded spike barriers for people. I've seen pictures of these things, and I mean, if these people weren't criminals, they could make a good career out of welding, unless they're already doing that. They look like they could weld two Red Bull cans together. They're so good. They are, it's just the strategies are, they're violent and really calculated.
And then forgive the pun, but spiking has spiked very recently.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a very topical thing right now. And the other day we actually, Reno got a bit of a puncture in our Ford Puma long term. And I think he initially thought, was he a victim of a spiking incident?
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. I mean, you could just be driving, you know, under a bridge and then a rock hits your windscreen. And I think the best piece of advice there is keep driving.
Yeah.
If a rock hits your windscreen, keep driving. Even if you have to Ace Ventura and pop your head out the window so you can see Ace Ventura.
And even if you lose that rim on your car because you destroying
I've been spiked,
it.
Drive.
Yeah. Just keep driving. And I think that's advice that pretty much anybody that's like from the police and everybody that's sort of in that crime prevention has said, just keep going.
And I read a very interesting stat the other day. If you can get a kilometer away from the incident, the likelihood of you being a victim of the crime is almost zero. So if you get that and you know you've been hit by a spike barrier or by a rock, keep driving that car until it will not drive anymore. Then try and call for some help, because odds are if you get far enough away from it, they're not going to pursue you because it's a high risk for them.
Yeah.
So just beware of things like that. And it's hard to avoid a spike barrier at night, and you can't predict when a rock is going to spontaneously be thrown from a bridge onto your vehicle. But if these things do happen, there are measures that you can obviously take.
I mean, just of how brazen just thieves are also, there was a video that circulated on social media as well, where we've seen when we go to shopping malls, there's the booms and the spikes as well, and you know, two-stage booms, if you will. And just the length these thieves went just to take a Golf R, fabricating ramps just so the car can go over the spikes and that. I sat there and I just thought, how much planning goes into this, you think to yourself?
Now, could they not be productive members of society with this innovation that they're coming up with here? I mean, but they choose to use this innovative thinking to get around security systems to commit crime. It's a very weird way of approaching life. But I suppose once you're in that sort of underworld, maybe it's difficult to get out. I'm not sure. I've never been a part of a criminal ring, but they have some really innovative ways of stealing things at the moment.
Sean is a good man. Very good man.
Yeah.
Moving back to some advice, hijackers often target residential areas, and I believe the stat, last time I checked, over 80% of hijackings happen in your driveway, which, I mean, you can believe, because we set up these barriers, these walls and gates in front of our homes to protect us from people getting in. But that ironically leaves us very vulnerable for those 10, 20 seconds while we're entering our property and the 10, 20 seconds it takes to close the gate. Yeah. So that's an opportune time for your average criminal to wait outside your home. As soon as you start opening the gate, they come up to you and say, give me your vehicle, give me your belongings. And it's as quick as that and it's gone. So you have to be very conscious of your surroundings when you pull into your driveway.
I believe that was the main focus point for like the Rolex gang as well back in the day, where they'll target people right in front of their security complex or whatever while they're waiting for the gate.
They will follow you from the shopping mall. So they would hang around Sandton City or Bedford Centre or wherever this was, and they would find a person wearing an expensive watch, usually a Rolex, and they would then follow them back to their home and take the vehicle and their watch and other belongings from them in their driveway. That was the modus operandi of the Rolex gang. So be vigilant when you're leaving shopping centers and when you're driving towards your home. Make sure there's no one following you. They drive unmarked vehicles. They drive stolen vehicles that are very under the radar, that you would never expect. I've seen Golf R's. I've seen Kia Rios. I've seen you name vehicles, and I've seen them being used in hijackings. So just make sure there's not something dodgy happening when you pull into your gate. If you suspect something, just go around the block. And if that person is still loitering around there, drive around the block or phone your local security and have them escort you, especially at night. Those security companies like a CMS or a Mamba or whatever that might be in your area, they are more than happy to escort you down your road and make sure you get into your gate safely. And that's just another added layer of protection if you are worried about pulling into your gate. Yeah.
One thing I'd add also is when it comes to valuables like laptops and all that stuff in between, it's better just to keep them in the boot.
It's something I learned the hard way. So I had my work bag underneath my driver's seat. I put it in from the back seat to sort of try and conceal it. But obviously me being distracted at that point, they were peering into the car and they saw that I had a bag behind that seat. So as soon as I unlocked the doors, they opened my passenger side door. The chap grabbed my phone from the center console and he grabbed the bag from behind my seat. So they knew exactly where it was. If it's in the boot, as Tay says, much more difficult for them to get a hold of. So it's just small strategies. It's things that you don't really think of when you're driving, because you obviously don't think you're going to be a victim of a hijacking. But, you know, the stats speak for themselves. Everybody knows someone who's been hijacked or has been hijacked themselves. And that's a scary stat to live among.
But also on the topic of the boot, it also comes in with the insurance side of things. Mm. A lot of insurance companies will ask that you have to put it or conceal your valuables in the boot.
Yeah.
So where criminals can't necessarily see it.
I mean, difficult if you drive a bucky, try conceal it wherever you can.
Yeah.
And especially with things like camera equipment, for example, even like if you're going to a shopping center or something, rather just take it if you don't leave it in the boot.
Mm. Yeah. Don't leave anything of massive value in your vehicle, and don't be flashy about things. I know it's nice to live your best life in terms of luxury items and stuff, but try not to be too flashy, because it attracts the wrong kind of attention of unscrupulous people, and they will target you as a result. And then something that Tay does, I don't think out of safety, but just purely because he's been to one too many car meets in his life, is reversing into every parking bay, and he unnecessarily blips his throttle while doing so. I don't suggest you do the blipping thing.
It's a manual car.
But reversing into your...
You do it if it's a manual car.
I think you do it if you've spent too much money on a cold air intake, so you can hear your pop, 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 pop.
But Sean, do you do it in the chimney?
I don't. Nobody wants to hear
do
that.
Do you do that in the chimney? Please answer the question, Sean.
I do not do that in the chimney. I just park the chimney straight.
We are going to record you doing a reverse park, Sean.
But he's not going to blip the throttle.
I'm not going to bop, 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 bop.
So you just let it ride the clutch. You are finishing your clutch, Sean.
I think I'd put money on the fact that my clutch will last longer than your Swift's clutch.
Let's make a bet.
And I'm sure
whose clutch is going to go first, and Sean or mine?
And his injectors are going to last longer. All of that is going to last longer.
I think the car in general is going to last longer.
My car is 10 years old.
Mine's only 6, but I think it's doing well. So reversing into the parking bay up against the wall, it allows you to escape quickly, and it doesn't allow criminals to come and sneak up on you while you're in the parking bay. It sounds like a silly thing, but I think it's quite a good solution.
Yeah, and a lot of businesses I've seen have adapted and actually put up signage asking you to park like that, especially if they deal with some dangerous or flammable goods or so on. So it's a bit of like a evacuation as well, strategy. Yes. So you can very quickly exit the premises and you don't have to reverse out or anything like that.
Absolutely. It just means like if someone approaches your car when you're in that parking lot, you can tear out of there instead of just trying to reverse out of there. It's a lot more difficult. So it's a good strategy, I think. Mm. Next tip, which I have employed even before the hijacking, is not approaching an intersection too quickly and stopping for a prolonged period. Mm. One of my pet peeves is people who speed up towards red traffic lights. Like I sometimes have people getting aggressive behind me, flashing and hooting, because I'm approaching a traffic light to sort of 20 Ks an hour moving up to it. It's almost like they want to speed up just so that they can stop at the red light, which is completely counterintuitive to me from an efficiency and a safety perspective.
Perceived quickness.
So if you just crawl up to the traffic light, it not only gives you an opportunity to check out the area, it also gives you some momentum if something has to happen. You'll be doing 10, 20 Ks an hour instead of being 0 Ks an hour. Mm. So approach the intersection in a slower manner. Mm. Look, take in your surroundings and make sure that it's safe.
Yeah. Particularly at night.
At night, I mean, I'm not a police officer, but at night after sort of 10 p.m., you won't see me stopping for any amount of time at a red traffic light. I treat that as a yield, and
Officer
I am
Sean. Through.
Yeah, Officer Sean, yeah, he goes through red traffic lights at night. I will yield, make sure everything's safe, treat it as a four-way stop or a yield sign, and then I'm through, because it's just not worth being a literal sitting duck at a red traffic light. I would happily take the fine from the police if they had to give me one for going. I think there has been some talk from the police commissioner saying yield at night. If it's a completely quiet road, you know, use your best judgment. We're not going to be sitting there trying to fine you at sort of 10, 11 o'clock at night. Use your best judgment.
It's good that they allow a bit of leeway with that. I think, yeah, that's pretty fair.
And this, another topic that I brought up earlier, and I can't emphasize enough, is that gap between the car in front of you. Mm. If you pull up to traffic, I know it's tempting to be right on the car in front of you, because even a meter space leaves a bit of a gap for a taxi to potentially squeeze in.
But they'll fit the 5 meters into that meter.
They'll get that car in there.
And they'll contort and fit it in somehow.
And I know that's why we are on top of each other in traffic. Mm. But at the same time, leaving that gap is the same rationale as reversing into your parking bay. It gives you an escape route. If someone comes up to you with a gun at the window and your fight or flight, it's very difficult to know what you're going to react like in the situation. Because with me, my first reaction was to tell them to take everything and then to get out of there as soon as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. Some people want to fight. You just don't know what you're going to do in the situation. So give yourself the option that if you do, running on pure adrenaline, want to get out of there, you've got an easy escape up the road. So leave that little gap to the car in front of you, and it's going to be a lot safer for you. Another thing that hijackers love to do, it's as spontaneous and opportunistic as some hijackers are, a lot of them are very methodical, like we mentioned with the Rolex gang, and they're very meticulous in their planning. Yeah. So they will follow you, especially if you've got high value goods. Mm-hmm. The average iPhone, which is going to be locked anyway and encrypted, that they can have unlocked in a dodgy way that they can sell for a couple of a couple of thousand rand, that's going to be your opportunistic hijacker. The person that's going after your expensive jewelry, potentially wanting to take your vehicle, they can plan and sit and watch you and form your routine in their mind over a course of days or weeks even. Mm. So the best advice would be to, as much as you need to have a routine in your life, change it up every now and again. Yeah. Keep them guessing, because if they know exactly where you're going to be every day at a specific time, they can plan an attack on you much easier. I mean, it would be very difficult to plan an attack on a motoring journalist, because we're always in different cars and we're always doing different things. Yeah. And we're very unpredictable in terms of our times coming and going. But the average person is very structured in their routine, and for good reason, because they're trying to get things done in an orderly way. But try and switch up your routine where you can, and it could potentially throw off a hijacker, because they don't know if they can predict what's going to happen.
And it's the smallest thing, the smallest change that you do, unless you stay like in a cul-de-sac, like, just drive around a block and come to your house from the other side, you know, like to your driveway or your
nothing
complex.
Wrong with taking
so it's like literally just change your route every so often. And who knows, you might spot another nicer house for sale that you might want to go and look at.
Absolutely.
Just driving a different route. There's always something to look at, and you just change your route a bit. And that's what Sean says. You just surprises the criminal that might be scoping you out or your house out.
And for those of you, this tip here comes from, the best example is in the popular show called The Office, where Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, blindly follows his GPS into a lake, because he says that's where the GPS is taking him, and he drives into a lake. And I fell victim to this earlier this year. A popular GPS that saves you time, it has saved me hours upon hours of my life earlier this year, when I got hijacked, took me through an area that I wouldn't usually drive through, because it was raining and the traffic was particularly heavy. And that, as a result, I got hijacked. Mm-hmm. So my first advice would be, if you're going to use these applications, they can be very good tools, but we live in South Africa. And even from a global perspective, just because it's the fastest route, it doesn't mean it's the safest route.
Yeah.
Use your better judgment. If it's taking you through an area that you know is dodgy, rather ask it to reroute you and go through a safer area. Yeah. It can only save you a couple of minutes at a time. And I promise you, the hours and even days that hijacking cost me, apart from the financial implications, was not worth the 2 or 3 minutes saved cutting through that area. Yeah. So some sage advice, don't use the GPS blindly. Don't use the technology blindly, because it can lead you astray.
Yeah.
And finally, quite a simple one, if you feel like you're being followed, don't go home or don't go where you were going. Go straight to your nearest police station. If there's no police station within a shout, go to a public area where it will be far less likely that that would happen, and then try contact an authority figure and say, I think I'm being followed, and that could definitely throw the hijackers off.
or actually drive until you see another police car and hoot and flash your lights, do whatever you want for that police to draw their attention. And when you're close to the police, you can actually open up your window and tell them,
I think I'm being followed.
I'm being followed.
I don't know if this is a legitimate cop. I'm a bit skeptical of the whole thing. And just to keep you safe, if you have a bad feeling in your gut, follow that feeling in your gut because it's generally right.
Yeah.
It's better to be safe than sorry. And I think that's going to do it, guys. I hope you found all this information valuable. Reino, Tay, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys for watching. If you have any other tips for us, let us know in the comments section. If you've been a victim of hijacking and want to let us know what you've now employed in your life to try and stop it, please let us know in the comment section. Thank you guys so much for watching. Don't forget to leave a comment, like, subscribe to the Auto Trader channel. And until next time, cheers.
Search Auto Trader.